Welcome to the King's Cost, dynamic teaching recorded live at King's Church in Cambridge, England. We hope you are blessed and challenged by listening to the ministry today. And now, here's the broadcast.
So Titus chapter 2, verse 3 to 5, I'm just going to read verse 3. It says, likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Amen. And so in our church, in our family here, we've got mothers amongst us. I don't want to say they're old. They're not. Because you start to say I'm old too. But you know, as long as you're a certain age, there's someone younger than you, right? So you're older than somebody. So you become older. But we've got women of wisdom amongst us who have seen it all, done it all. They have the t-shirt. And so we appreciate them. We love them. And so today we thought, you know what, we want to hear that wisdom. We want to hear from them. And so please do sit tightly. We would like to invite these ladies that are going to speak one by one as they share their wisdom. What it's been like for them as a mother. They'll draw from their experience. They'll draw from the scriptures that have sustained themselves over the years. And they will share with us this morning. Amen. Amen. So without further ado, I'd like to invite Marite to come and share. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good morning, church. Today is Mother's Day, and I have the privilege to pray for all biological and spiritual mothers. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless you with a wonderful day with your beautiful family. I will share a little bit about me as a mother. I feel so blessed because God the Father blessed me with two daughters. They are twins and they are a great gift from heaven. I love them so much, and I always for them, never mind the age, as they will be always my little ones. And I pray and intercede for them every day. I renounce them and place them in God's hands. And I know that they will find their identity on Jesus Christ. In the perfect time for him. Every day I declare the victory for them. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of mothers and the love they give so deeply and freely. Also, bless all mothers today, whether they are with us or whether they are grieving their loss. The Bible celebrates the unconditional love of mothers, comparing it to God's love for his children. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 7, describe the kind of love mothers show to their children. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable and it is not keep record of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whether the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. As mothers, we gain this kind of love through the Holy Spirit. God promises to strengthen us. to guide us and give us the wisdom as we nurture our families. His love and wisdom can provide support in every season of motherhood. Motherhood, in its essence, is not simple about having biological children. It is about nurturing, shaping, and bringing life, whether in the home, in the church, or in the world. It reflects the very heart of God. Isaiah 49 verse 15 says, never can a mother forget her nursing child. Can she feel no love for the child she was born? But even if that were possible, I would not forget you. This verse compares a mother's love to God's eternal care, showing that even though a mother's love is deep and sacrificial, we can praise the Lord for women who have been a strong and caring mother's figures in our lives, and we can also praise Him for the adoption we have into His family when we trust in Jesus Christ. Psalm 127 verse 3 says, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. Dear Lord, give the mothers in this congregation patience, direction, as they nurture their families. Lord, we thank you for the mothers in our lives, for their unwavering love and support. May feel deeply loved and appreciated both by their families and by you. May they know your love, your favor, and grace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Marite. Thank you very much. I'm going to invite Caroline. Thank you. Someone to give me a chair.
No, I'll be all right.
Are you sure?
Right. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. All women are mothers, believe it or not. Even if they haven't got children of their own, they're mothers to somebody. Yes. We must remember that and honour them. Amen. A mother's love is essential for her children's emotional, psychological, and spiritual development. A mother's love provides unconditional acceptance, making her children feel valued, cherished, and secure. This acceptance builds their self-esteem and confidence. Mothers play a vital role in nurturing their children's emotional well-being. Their love and care help children develop emotional intelligence and regulate their emotions and form healthy relationships. The love and care a mother provides has a lasting impact on her children's lives, influencing their relationships, their choices, and their overall well-being. Mothers model values, morals, and behavior, shaping their children's character and worldview. Children learn from their mother's example, adopting her values and principles. For many families, mothers play a significant role in spiritual guidance, teaching their children about faith, values, and principles. A mother's love helps shape her children's spiritual foundation. In the Bible, mothers are revered for their pivotal role in shaping the lives of their children and influencing the world around them. A godly mother is a treasure, and her importance cannot be overstated. So we're going to explore the significance of mothers through biblical examples and teachings, because several mothers in the Bible demonstrated extraordinary faith, courage, and dedication. Some notable examples include the first mother, Eve. She played a crucial role in the early narrative of humanity. Despite her mistakes, Eve's story highlights the importance of motherhood. As Abraham's wife, Sarah, she was a matriarch who trusted God's promises and played a vital role in the Abrahamic covenant. Jochebed, the mother of Moses, risked everything to save her son, exemplifying bravery and faith. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was chosen by God for a unique role in salvation history. Her faith and obedience are exemplary. A mother's job is indeed never over, is it, Simon? Her influence extends far beyond childhood, shaping the values, morals, and character of her children. Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." This underscores the significance of a mother's guidance and nurturing. The Bible commands us to honor our mothers, promising blessings for doing so. This honor is not limited to biological mothers, but extends to all who have provided maternal care and guidance. While no mother is perfect, is she, Simon? Godly mothers strive to emulate these qualities, trusting God's promises and living out their faith in front of their children, demonstrating unconditional love and sacrifice for their children, and guiding their children with discernment and patience. Godly mothers are indeed precious, and their role in shaping the next generation is vital. As we reflect on those examples of biblical mothers and the teachings of Scripture, let's honor and appreciate the mothers in our lives. May we also strive to emulate the qualities of godly mothers, influencing the world around us for generations to come. A mother's love is essential for children's development, providing a foundation for emotional, psychological, and spiritual growth.
Thank you so much, Caroline. We need to sit with Simon. You tell us more. But thank you so much. God bless you. And I'll call upon Mama Aida to come to share with us. Thank you.
I'm nervous. Thank you. I haven't written down anything, not like my two other wonderful mothers. And I just want God to use this time as a testimony of my life and what's gone on in my life, in my earthly life, and how he's blessed me as a mother. And now he still blesses me as a mother every day. And from the day he made me a mother, I became a mother physically. For a start, I want to thank you, Patience, for giving me the opportunity of glorifying God in my life, in this church, and in what he's doing. And I want to just say that when I got married, and yeah, of course we all want children. And like I thought, oh Lord, and there were problems even from the start of my marriage. And I thought, well Lord, I want children. But I was so strong in my faith. And it's something Ruth said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and the kingdom of God, and the rest will be added. And I will say this, I was in John Robert Shaw's church when I was married and when my children were young. And John Robert Shaw, he had many things that he would talk about. And he's where I was in that church when my children were, and they had very sound teaching as they grew up. And I felt that from the very beginning, God knows when a child is born, he knows. It's not by fluke you're here or by fluke you're there. It's God knows, and he just wants you so very much to be that mother, that person that to your child. So really, they had good grounding. So I would just want to say that mothers are a great influence. They really are a very great influence. And the children that are born and are brought in the ways of the Lord, from the very beginning, they have the word of God in them. And it says in the Bible that we are the children, our children are made holy because of us, and we are sanctified. They are sanctified. And though at that time Roger wasn't following the Lord in a way, I held on and I prayed. And honestly, it's just amazing what God has done. So Roger became a Christian more or less after Ashley gave his life to Jesus. And he led his brother to Jesus. And so they knew about God. And that's all because I prayed. I was a praying mother. I prayed any old how. I claimed scriptures. I'm just going to now stop rattling on and tell you the scriptures I prayed. And up till today, those scriptures are pertaining to Jason, pertaining to Ashley, pertaining to people. And God has, like, you know, the river of God, his throne room, he adds, we are supposed to go from glory to glory to glory, as it says in 1 Peter, is it 2 Peter? And so I see that. And my children have all given their lives to Jesus, both of them. And my grandson, Joshua, that's Jason's son, gave his life to Jesus when he was 10. He's now 13. And so I can see how God is working because of one thing, and that was faith. Before I had my children, I said to the Lord, Lord, when I have my children, there's a scripture that's in Psalms. It says about they will praise God. Children's children will praise God for a future generation before they were born. And I don't know where that is. I couldn't find that yesterday. But I just want to say a few scriptures here. Proverbs 17:6, if anyone's taking. Joshua 1:6-9. Psalm 1. Now, Psalm 1 was the psalm I prayed for my son Jason before he became a Christian. And today, that is his psalm. 2 weeks ago, God brought to my recollection for him because he was applying for a job. He had his 11th interview on that day. And God's been speaking to me from the days of yonder because his word is forever, and his name is forever exalted. So I just want to read this psalm. It's Psalm 138. I will praise you, O God, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down towards your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. May all the kings of the earth praise you, O Lord, when you hear the words of your mouth. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is on high and he looks upon the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. Amen. I'll leave it there. Amen.
It was exactly 5 minutes. Well done. Our mothers know how to keep time. Isn't that amazing? So they're teaching us well. Thank you, Ida. I'll call upon Mama Cindy. Please do put your hands together as she comes. She sits at the back.
Good
Don't worry, Mommy, no rush. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone, again. Now, when I was asked to have a few words to encourage everyone in this service, what got into my mind was everything that has to do with biology, with the chromosomes and everything else, the XX, the XY, and God only knows what is left. Anyway, I looked up and realized in my mind somewhere, I was looking for the characteristics that are taken over by the families, by the children in every family. Thinking of the biology, thinking of the chromosomes, anatomy, physiology, all the sophisticated stuff. But the simplicity of the message of today is that every child that is born into a family. Now, I don't want to imply that mothers are only those that are biological that have given birth. There are more children of the spirit than the physical children that we've got in the families, in our homes. Now, can I also add that the God that we serve speaks. I've learned in the years past to listen when God speaks, and he comes with a very subtle voice. I remember one of the years, there about 2012, 2013, thereabout, I drove to Norwich because I was doing some overtime shifts. I was there for the night. Anyway, whilst I was busy with the patients, the people I'm looking after, there's a word that came to me when I was busy with medication, that you need to ensure that you've got some painkiller, paracetamol or brufen. I thought to myself, well, I'm sure I can get those for 35p in Tesco. But it was insisting that I need the medication. Okay. I just listened and put whatever I could maybe in my bag because I was going to drive following the person that showed me where the shift was. Driving down from Norwich towards Bury St. Edmunds, the word that came to me before I started driving was, take your phones, put them in the bag, and lock them up in the boot. So I thought, okay, I'll do that because I'm not sure what's coming. Anyway, as I was driving, coming down, hitting a 60, I did not see the roundabout that I was driving towards. And as I tried to apply the brakes, the car just overturned. One, two, three, and it just lay on the side that I was on the right. There were cars that had parked somewhere, and everybody was just running, and I thought to myself, Lord, you are good. They ran. One of the young men just broke the window on the driver's side and said, step here, give me your hand, and they pulled me out. Just as I stepped on dry ground, the first blast went off on the bonnet of the car. Bah! And it was just fire behind me, looking at the car burning out. One of the people that stopped was a doctor, came to me and said, are you okay? I said, yes, I'm fine. I'm fine. I just listened to the message I was given when I was at work. The police came and everybody else. But it is the police that said to me, your phones are in the boot, like I've forgotten. But then I realized then that if those phones were not in the boot, the police would have found the reason for the car overturning. They were going to suspect that I was on the phone, I was talking or whatever, but the phone was, even when they were busy, you know, with the water, sort of trying to stop the fire, as it were. I had no phone with me. Both of them were in the boat. It is the police that told me that your phones are in the boat. Now, the message here is God speaks. We just need to give ourselves time to listen. We may not know at the time what the message is, but the revelation will come before the sun sets. There's a time when I was leaving home, talking about home in South Africa, in the morning. When I was leaving in the morning, before I left, around 3:30, 4:30, the voice that came through my right ear was, "You are going to be marked today." I thought to myself, marked? I'm not sure how this is going to happen. Anyway, I left home and it was just drizzling. And I thought to myself, well, you've got an umbrella. Just, you know, open it and walk. And I did. I walked. In the far end of the stadium, I could see 5 people. A lady with a dish with the bananas in which she was going to sell. There were 2 boys on the right, 2 on the left, and there was someone taller that seems to be the boss, I think, of these boys, walking behind. So, just as they came, it must have been just 2 steps, because I was looking at them, walking down, and they were coming just to be where I am. The one that was taller had the 9mm, and he was going to shoot. He said, "Money." I said, "Well, I'm going to work for it. I've got to earn it." And because I stopped and answered, they all ran into the school and jumped the fences. And I thought to myself, "Oh, thank Lord, you are good. You are good," because I'm not sure what makes them run, because I just told them that I don't have the money that they want to take from me. I'm still going to work for it and earn it. We might meet here next time, maybe. And then we can sort things out then. And they will take what they want and give me what I've worked for. Anyway, that was it. Now, the message here is God speaks. We need individually to hear the voice of God in our ears and to conform to that and just listen to what he's saying. Not very long from now, a couple of weeks or so, I left the house running late, and just as I appeared, you know, driving towards the gym, I was going to turn left into Coldham's Lane over the bridge. The traffic light turned green. And just before I started the car to indicate, as I'm getting late for work, the voice that spoke to me for many years returned and said, "Stop!" And I had to stop, late as I was. And there was a van that was coming from Sainsbury that did not honor the traffic light that was red. It just drove past. And I thought, I was trembling, saying, "Lord, you are good." Because that would have hit me on the driver's side. I don't know where I could be by now, type of thing. So, nothing makes me any special than anybody else. We are all created by the same God. And it is up to us. Proverbs 18 verse 21 says, "Life and death is in the power of the tongue. As you say it, it shall come to pass." So may the Lord teach us, as families, as individuals, to honor him and go through the BIBLE with a very fine comb. so that we can read the messages, see how the other mothers of the spirit, other families grew up. By the way, the traits that our children get, they get from the X chromosome, as I was looking at only yesterday, last night. And it says the XX that makes a female to be born in the family, that is the X that is carrying all the characteristics of the genius, color, whatever, prosperity, anything that you have is hinging on that X chromosome. Yes, the fathers are contributing to a very large extent with the Y. Now, the Y might just bring in maybe the color, blindness, illnesses, and other things. I'm not implying that all Y are sick. All I'm saying, as good as they are, we need to acknowledge that the two chromosomes, XX for the girl, XY for the boy, are what the families are about, what children are about. And we just need to honor and thank God for them. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed.
We've got some homework to do here. Thank you so much, Mama Cindy. We appreciate you and God bless you. Thank you. And last but not least, I would like to invite Diane Robertshaw. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah. Thank you, Cindy. That was absolutely amazing. Really inspiring. Okay, so I was opening the cupboard door the other day and I saw this packet of Yorkshire tea. And I thought to myself, oh, we haven't been to Yorkshire for ages. And why do we go to Yorkshire? Well, that's where John comes from and that's where his family are. And the same thing goes. I'm from Derbyshire and I go to Derbyshire quite a lot, not least because I support Derby County, but there we go. And so do all my family. But the thing is that we have special places, probably where we've been brought up and that we probably still call home a bit, you know, because that's important. And, you know, people these days, they want to find out what their family tree is. And did you know that there's a special offer at the moment from Ancestry DNA? £49 for Mother's Day. Wow, how about that? So some of you may have had this to find out what your ancestry is. So as human beings, we like to go back. We like to think, you know, where have we come from? And actually, the Bible is full of genealogies. They loved it. You know, the Jewish people, lists and lists and lists. And the one, you know, in Luke chapter 3, it goes right back to Adam. And Adam, the son of God, which is amazing. So there's a sense where we're all, you know, God's children. But I'm going to talk about really three types of families. That's the first one, our, you know, biological family. But we're all, hopefully here, part of God's family. And to become part of God's family, obviously, you know, we need to believe in Jesus and be born again. So I've got some verses here about being children or sons of God. First one. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I love this. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. So we are adopted children into God's family. And another one, for in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, when I was younger, I grew up on a farm in Derbyshire, and my dad took in this homeless man who'd actually been kicked out because he had some learning difficulties, and he lived with us. His name was Norman. And basically, he did a bit of work on the farm and he stayed with us and my dad gave him a small wage. And when Norman died, he didn't inherit any of the money of the family. We didn't leave anything to Norman. Norman did leave me a little bit of money and my twin sister, but that's all. But because he wasn't a member of the family, if you like. So as members of God's family, we are part of the inheritance that God's given to us. and one more. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So if we're filled with the spirit of God, that's what causes us to worship and cry out, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir to inherit. So we're all going to inherit. I forgot to say as well, Mother's Day isn't really about mothers, or it wasn't to begin with. It was about going back to your roots. So everybody went back to the place where they were born, and actually the church that they were taken to as babies. That was the origin of Mother's Day. So it was about going back to your roots, if you like. I forgot to say that, but never mind. There you go. It's a bit of a thing. Now, sons were the people who inherited. So you might not know it, but you are all sons of God. I'm a son of God, you're a son of God, you're a son of God. Because if not, we wouldn't inherit. So sometimes other versions of the Bible, they translate, they take out the son because they want to be politically correct. But the original Greek says son, because sons inherit. So if we want to inherit, we have to be a son of God. So that's great, isn't it? So sisters, you are sons, which is really good. I want to be a son anyway. Right. So we've all been adopted into God's family. So we've got our biological family, we've got God's family, but we have got our church family, which is absolutely amazing. So God, he doesn't leave us. He puts the lonely into families. People of any, whether you have a family, whether you don't have a family, we have mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters within the community, within our church family here, which is absolutely amazing. So even if you haven't got any children, you can be a mother. You can be a father to the fatherless, which is incredible. Everything you should need. And this is one thing. This is what somebody said to Jesus, Matthew chapter 12. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. He replied to them, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. So it wasn't that he wanted to disown his family. He wanted to say, look, I have a new family. I have a spiritual family. You're my mother. You're my brothers. You're my sisters. You're my fathers. Awesome, isn't it? Yeah. And God sets the lonely in family. He leads out the prisoners with singing. Wonderful. And, you know, and I love this. I love this bit. This is my favorite, one of my favorite bits in the Bible, which is Acts chapter 2. And this is about the activity of the early church, how the church, how the family of God worked together. So here we go. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold their property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying of the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I'd like to be in a church like that, wouldn't you? But we are. We want to be it. We want to be there. We want to live like this. And you know, the church was meant to display to the world what God's like, as was the Jewish nation originally. They were meant to show what God is like, what their father is like. And we as the church are signs and symbols to the world of what God is like. And we can look at each other and we can see, you know, one another as being reflectors of the glory of God. And that's my prayer, really, that that's what we'll be. That's how things will be, and that we'll be able to live out this wonderful, dynamic way of life, that all men might be saved, that God's kingdom would come more powerfully in Cambridge, in King's Church, here amongst us. Wonderful.
Thank you for listening, and we trust that the Word of God has inspired you today. For further information about King's Church, or to access our large archive of other recordings, go to www.kingscambridge.org. If you're listening on iTunes, we would love you to leave us some feedback. God bless, and goodbye.